There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday and a fresh week to work with. Phone number, same as it ever was, 251-343-0106. That works for a text and a phone call. And a reminder, too, with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us one of those talkback messages. We'll talk about that later on in the show. Also, this weekend, enjoy, you know, it was the boy and I went up to Tensaw, went up to Fort Mims for the reenactment of the Fort Mims massacre. If you're looking to, they didn't roll it in the scores, but the Creeks won again. They're undefeated there at that reenactment. So but it's always a good time to get up there if you have not done it. Something worth doing. And, man, we had a nice run. I heard Dr. Bill and Dan and Dalton talking about this morning. Nice run of weather. I mean, for late August, was not bad over the weekend. So we'll take more of that if possible. All right, we'll get right into it. And good to talk to this man. He's been getting some well-deserved rest out there. Now he's back. You know him from Capital Journal, Alabama Daily News, and... well, being on radio shows just like this one. It's our buddy Todd Stacy. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
Good, man. Did you enjoy your time?
Oh, yeah. Had a great week off. Didn't know that we were finally going to get some cool weather, because it definitely wasn't cool where I went. But, yes, great to have some time off. I think everybody needs a little time off to recharge, but glad to be back in the saddle.
Oh, good to have you here as well. A lot to talk about. I want a story that... y'all put out, and we'll talk about how folks can get the email, but this the email we get on Sundays. I read this story, and this is almost one of those, the fact that, you know, the Trump assassination is below the fold, right? The assassination attempt is below the fold anymore, although there's some more stuff out from Secret Service. Here in Alabama, we had somebody put a pipe bomb in front of the AG's office, and heard that it was somebody with political reasons for doing it, and it's made the news with y'all, but it doesn't, I don't know why it hasn't gotten more attention out there.
Yeah, I mean, that was
a big story, right?
It was a big story, sure, yeah. And I mean, the fortunate thing is we've come to learn that nobody was there at the time. It wasn't, I think he, I mean, and obviously the detonation made it a non-event. And that's good news. We certainly didn't want anybody to get hurt. But, I mean, yeah, that's – I don't know if you call it an assassination attempt.
It was it's a bombing. No, I'm just saying – I'm not saying they're the same thing. It was just weird that here are these stories that, you know, at a national level I thought would stay above the, you know, above the fold. And then here in Alabama, you know, this setting off a – but you'd think, let's put this in some other state, right? Pipe bomb detonated in front of AG's office. You'd think that would – continue to have stayed in the news more than it has here in Alabama.
I agree. Part of it, especially early on, was the Attorney General's office and Aaliyah, probably, I mean, for good reason, were saying very little. They didn't want to get ahead of investigators and police because nobody knew who this guy was originally. And so, you know, allowing police to do their work, I thought it's probably the smart call, but it does make it tough for those in the media, you know, to actually cover the story day in and day out. Like, you know, had Marshall kind of played the politics of it and come out and had a news conference the next day or a series of them, then yeah, I think it would have been kind of a more prominent story. But he has not really wanted to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably for the best. That's one reason why it hasn't been a day in and day out kind of story.
You know, in the story here too, it says that prosecutors said that Calvert, here's the guy, Calvert had placed stickers reflecting a wide range of political ideologies around the area. Some included the phrase "Support your local Antifa," but the plea deal Calvert signed said that he does not have any affiliation with Antifa. So he's just an Antifa fanboy? Why does that matter? I mean, like, it seems to me a part of the motivator for why he did this.
Yeah, I mean, all we can really do is speculate because we don't have all those documents yet. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, probably a very confused dude, you know, 26 years old. That's right in the sweet spot of, you know, not exactly stable kids getting all kinds of bad information from the internet. I mean, it was Antifa before, now it's Hamas, you know. So
right.
I can't climb inside this guy's head, but I mean, we've just seen too many examples of people like that age especially getting radicalized by who knows what, but certainly radicalized thinking that they've got to have some kind of control. You know, I wish we knew more about the shooter, the Trump shooter, but again,
yeah.
same kind of generation, same kind of weird information that we do know. So it's just, I'm not sure we've done the best job of raising this next generation up.
No, I mean, there's always going to be people in that age cell, you know, but it's, yeah, these are pretty high, you know, not the same as actually physically shooting presidential candidate, former president. But I mean, if you set a pipe bomb somewhere, I mean, you're expecting to do damage here.
Absolutely. And I mean,
it's not like they spray painted like, oh, I don't, you know, poo-poo head Marshall. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a bomb.
Well, yeah. And, you know, we've always had crazy people. We've always had yeah. People that, you know, do stupid things. But as far as we know, like, this guy didn't want to impress Jodie Foster, right?
Right.
I mean, there was a political motive behind it. And that's one of the risks when you've got the Democrats. Again, I'm not blaming this on their rhetoric, but it's not good when you spend the better part of 3 years, and so maybe you could draw it back further than that, that one party is a threat to democracy and that the whole country is going to go away and be in shambles if one person is elected. You know, you say that over and over again, folks might start to believe you that Republicans are terrorists and want to bring down the very nature and fiber of this country. I mean, it's always seemed irresponsible to me. I kind of tend to roll my eyes because it's like, come on, nobody really buys that. And you know,
okay,
I'm
but
not saying
they?
This is the fruits of it. I'm saying it could contribute.
Yeah, you know, my idea has always been to not quell speech out there, but maybe we can require in Alabama's education a critical thinking, that people slow down enough to analyze something and kind of, you know, try to put the shoe on the other foot and see if that's really true. You know, see if that thing that was said, does that jive with you? You know, does that really make sense?
Well, absolutely. I think that's why you've seen a push in the legislature to make sure these divisive concepts, you know, CRT and other things, aren't part of Alabama's curriculum. And, you know, that's gotten a lot of pushback over, oh, you're banning books and things like that. Ah, you're making sure that children are educated in history and social studies and all the things that are really important, and but civics, like you mentioned, but not hateful, divisive, you know, ideologies that make you feel bad for being a certain race. That's what they banned, and or being a certain gender, right? When they're, that's, you know, there's education and then there's indoctrination, and that's, I think that's what Alabama has wanted to avoid. Maybe other states, maybe we didn't avoid it the entire time, but I think those laws were for the most part well intentioned.
All right, just joining us, talking to Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal. Speaking of school, one of the stories this morning here, this is because I want to talk about this because there's another part to it. Right here, nearly 40,000 Alabamians have enrolled in workforce education programs through the state's community college system in the last year, boosting the system's reach to more than 170,000 people year to year from 23 to 24. Okay, that's big news, right? I mean, because I want to look at this and say, then what does this mean for the workforce participation, right? Because we look at the unemployment numbers, but then you realize so many Alabamians aren't engaged. Are these those people enrolling in this?
We don't know a whole lot about exactly who those, like what age cohort. Okay. You got to assume plenty of them are coming right from high school, right? And so that's a good thing. At least they're going into or pursuing a trade or something like that. But yeah, I think you could also fairly assume that some of them are folks trying to get back into a career or have a, you know, move up to a different career that pays more and things like that. That's the spectrum of the community college system, but it's a real bright spot for the state. And you have to hope that yes, you know, as more and more enroll in community colleges and as the community college gets more and more sophisticated in their job training and job placement, that we'll start to really see that, you know, workforce participation rate tick up. Everybody wants that.
Yeah, I don't know how, you know, I know there's a bunch of different kind of people. People assume it's all people not wanting to work. That's not all true for workforce participation, but there's got to be some percentage of people in there that are able-bodied and they're just not working. I don't know how you do that, but they're just not working. I want to move on to this here, the joy of AL2. And I know you were out last week, and I don't need to go through the speech from Shamari Figures, but having him on the last night, it's a big deal, right? Even though they cut away, you know, they cut away, unless you're watching like the C-SPAN feed, or they cut away during the speech. But that shows what maybe we already guessed, that the DNC is all in for AL2 for Figures. Your time in Washington and all that, tell me what you expect out of that. Seeing that, was that a tell? Do you think, not that you'd be surprised that they would be bringing outside money in here, but does that tell? Do you think it's going to be pretty big with the—
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like he spoke on Monday.
Right.
Or,
it's a big
Tuesday
deal.
At 4 o'clock. I mean, this is a prime time, you know, speech. And yeah, I know they cut away to analysts and stuff like that. But yeah, that's the Democratic Party at large, but especially the DCCC saying, this is our guy. This is our kind of poster child, if you will, for what we want to happen across the country. I think it helps that he may have been the one candidate, certainly in Alabama, but maybe across the country, that benefited the most from Kamala Harris becoming the nominee. And so, you know, that what better way to take advantage of that than to give him a pretty prominent role at the convention. And yes, I think it's, you know, to the extent that people in Alabama were watching, does it help? Sure. But I think it helps them fundraise big time. You know, it's the DNC sending a signal to its donor base saying, this is our guy, help him out. And he'll probably have a good quarter.
Do you think we hear, like, you know, when the National Party came in and canvassed for Doug Jones in the senatorial side, right? They not only spent money, they physically brought people in. Do you think we see that same thing here in AL2, that not just the PAC money and all that coming in, but do you think we see national folks coming in, door knocking, that kind of stuff?
Oh, absolutely. It's already kind of underway. I mean, they're not physically on the ground here, but they've been laying the groundwork for that for months. And that's how you do it. You don't just show up one day and decide to knock doors and make phone calls. You've got to plan that out. This is one of my political background was planning all that kind of stuff, you know, planning that GOTV effort. And, you know, we don't have early voting in Alabama. We do have absentee voting. And so, you know, you can get more and more people to absentee vote. So those efforts have been underway for months. And I expect for sure there to be plenty of volunteers that come in from out of state. There will be for Republicans too, right? This is a program that both parties run. But that's another thing. I think him playing a prominent role at the DNC is, you know, probably helps him recruit. Like, hey, let's go win this seat that is currently held by a Republican. I mean, they're not going to tell the story about it being redrawn and all that, but let's go win this previously Republican seat. That's a motivating factor. Now, we'll see how many they get, but yes, you will see some fresh faces from out of state canvassing and doing the door knocking and all that goes with it here pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm wondering if we could watch this. Is there a tethering of national polls here, you know, between Trump and Harris and, you know, Dobson and Figures? As you see these move up, I wonder if, you know, you could do polls the same week or something like that and say, okay, well, move this way. Some polls out have Harris up 7 over Trump, some are dead heat. You know, there's a bunch of them. But if you looked at them and then polled at the same time, I know there's not the same budget, at AL2 to see if there's any movement that was connected between the two or if they were, you know, following the move the next week or something to that effect. It'd be interesting.
It would be. We plan on doing some polling, I don't know, in about a month. We don't want to be too early on it. I would love to do two or three, but it's really expensive. Mm-hmm. And but we're going to partner again with great television stations to do some polling.
Good.
That some, you know, quality polling that's public for everybody to see. But we certainly will include the top of the ticket. And I wish we did have a comparison to what was that support in June,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially after like post debate, and then what does that turn into and how do they flip? I'm sure I wish we could have solid numbers on that. We certainly do nationally, but again, polling is expensive. We could probably only afford to do one.
Yeah, and there's probably only, probably in the state, there's about 1,700 of us nerds that are really waiting for that. And everybody else is like, yeah, I don't care. Hey, Todd, tell folks about this email I keep mentioning. How did I end up getting this email in my inbox 6 days a week?
Well, at some point, you went to AL.com, I'm sorry, ALDailyNews.com, and entered your name and your email, and then that's all you got to do, and you'll be on the list. So at some point, you visited the website, just like your listeners, a lot of your listeners have, to enter your name and your email to get on the list. It's really easy.
All right, and then Capital Journal this week.
That's right. Again, I was out of town, so my colleague Jeff hosted the show. I know that he interviewed a lot of folks from Chicago, kind of like we did a few weeks back in Milwaukee, Alabama perspective from the convention and things like that. So, it's always worth checking out, even if I'm not in the anchor chair.
It's good stuff. Brother, I appreciate it, and we'll talk again next week.
All right, Sean, be good.
All right, there he goes, Todd Stacey, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Check that text line and the phone line at 343-0106. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You know, this recall here on the Great Value brand apple juice with the arsenic in it. Wonder if they're not getting the seeds out. It says harmful levels of inorganic arsenic. Because, And I guess I could Google this, and I'm taking this from what I thought I knew growing up, that the seeds in an apple have arsenic in them, right? That they would use those to grind those down to make the poison, the seeds in the... But it says in the story, yeah, Walmart, and I heard Devin update on the KRG News, said Walmart recalled nearly 10,000 cases of apple juice sold in stores across the United States that were found to contain potentially harmful levels of inorganic arsenic. So, I mean, they just, like, they have that, you picture like a tumbler that says arsenic on it. And like, oh, Tom, why'd you kick that over in the apple juice? Because it would be organic, I would think, if it would come from the seeds that are supposed to have arsenic in them. I don't know. It says, It says inorganic arsenic is more toxic to humans than naturally occurring form of mineral arsenic. Okay, but help me understand. Because when I first heard it, I was like, okay, well, they didn't core out their apples before they made that juice. But they're saying it's inorganic. So did y'all just, I'm just a regular guy. I just ask regular guy questions. Did y'all just have a box of arsenic laying around there of inorganic arsenic? And stupid Tom, who had a bender the night before, knocked it over in the apple juice? Help me, Walmart. Help me understand, please. All right, we'll come back and get your text and a couple stories I want to get into. First of all, let's recap early Sunday morning here in our fair city. Six people shot. Six people shot. Not with arsenic either. With bullets. Yeah. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, name of this show. Hi. Phone number, the text line, both the same digits. It's FM Talk 106.5's phone number, 343-0106. Know it, learn it, love it, and use it semi-frivolously. By the way, before any of us complain, we got what'll be the next big travel weekend? I guess it'll be, it's not Labor Day. People don't do a lot of flying, do they? Yeah, I guess it'll be Thanksgiving or something like that, and we'll hear the... AAA will come out. More Americans are stranded this year because of backups and flying, whatever it is. Before you complain because you're stuck at Atlantis Hartsfield and you have to wait till the next day to get a flight, at least you're not an astronaut stuck on the Boeing Starliner. I mean, this is ridiculous. They've been up there 80 days and will stay for another 6 months now. I mean, I guess if you're and you love being in space, it's cool, but this is... this is where we are with this? Like, we can come back to that story a little bit. But it's, yeah, so the astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams now expected to return to Earth in February. Now, they went up in June, right? Yeah, beginning of June. And they're supposed to be up there eight days, docked into the ISS, the space station up there. And then they had all the issues here, you know, with the thrusters and all that stuff, helium leaks. Which I wonder if you have a helium leak, was everybody going, I've been talking about this, you know, if the helium leak got in there and everybody was talking like they inhaled a balloon. But yeah, so they're going to be there until February, till Mardi Gras time. They're going to stay up there. All right, to the text line at 343-0106. Aiden and Citronelle, what's up, Aiden? Said, when did figures move into District 2? I think he's, you know, you're going to say about the, I'm sure he keeps a main residence here. I don't know that there's, I don't think they would have launched a campaign if he didn't have a main residence, whether he spent more time in D.C. or here, you know how the game goes, which is a whole other thing about the game. You've seen this national movement. I don't know how many people are actually going to do this, but this push for people in sure blue states. So for this is for Democrats and the left that are fancies that have vacation houses in states that are in play. The story's out there. How many people this accounts for, I don't know. I think it'd be interesting if there was any way to figure that out. But that they were moving, like if they had a vacation house, right? So you're in Illinois or something like that. It's a solid blue state. And you have a swanky vacation cabin near my people in Pennsylvania. And you declare that as your residence so you can vote there. And takes you, because you know Illinois shirt up for the blue, and you go over there. So there's some of that going on the voter side, I think, is how many people, I do not know. All right, Squirrel Vereen said the Dems painted that building downtown with figures all over it, preparation on this run. Okay, and yes, thank you. He said, I remember learning about poison in apple seeds from an episode of G.I. Joe cartoon. Did you too? Yes, probably where I learned it. Thank you, Supermom. Correct me. I don't know. I thought it was arsenic. It's cyanide. So I knew Scrovarine and I were learning about these things when we were young. I'd forgotten it's cyanide in the apple seeds, not arsenic. That's probably in the time period too. Scrovarine, did you learn? We never did it, but one of our buddies was like, man, if you take gasoline and a styrofoam cooler, remember when there were styrofoam coolers everywhere? Put that together, you got napalm. We talked about doing it. We used to do a lot of destructive things, like taking gunpowder out of shotgun shells and putting them in arrows with primers and shooting them and making them. I mean, we did all those things. But we did not end up making the napalm. But one of our older buddies said, yeah, man, you take the gasoline and take the styrofoam cooler and you'll have napalm. What we would have done with it, I don't know. Slung it on each other. Let's see. Chris in Orange Beach, six people shot. Sounds like the violence and chaos that's been going on in Birmingham and Montgomery is moving south. Unfortunately, we've had some homegrown here, Chris. And it's, the story that I'm talking about, I mentioned before we went to the news. And this is from, this came in from, I think, was it Fox 10? Where is it? There it is. It's from WKRG. Said, Mobile police are investigating after six people were shot just after midnight Sunday morning. Six people. They said they were called to an area at the intersection of Paper Mill Road and McKinley Street at 12:21 a.m. for the shooting. Police say three men, two women, and a minor. Good, because the minor's out. They were all found shot at that location. All were taken to local hospitals and treated for what was described as non-life-threatening injuries. So let me do a sidebar here. I point this out so many times. We have stories and they'll be like, with no fatalities, y'all know anybody who's been shot? Do you? Because there's people that I know have been shot that their whole life is going to the doctor, right? Trying to replace bones with cadaver stuff and do all the infections and all. We often breeze right past or somebody shot in the stomach that's never going to have a normal GI tract ever. I mean, that's a whole nother part that gets just breezed by. They're like, well, there were no fatalities. The level, I mean, this is not all flesh wounds. These are people that might have a lifetime of debilitating issues from that gunshot. The other part of this is you shoot six people and every one of them has a non-life-threatening injury. Police say they don't have any details on what might have led to the shooting or who may be responsible. Hell. Six people shot. And they said they could hear cars racing along Paper Mill Road. Big groups of people were seen running from the scene when police arrived. Six people shot. Be interested when more information on that comes out. I mean, that's, you know what that qualifies as, actually, if you look at the stats from the, they'll roll this out a lot, Dems will, the number of mass shootings in the United States, and when we hear mass shooting, we picture some dirtbag, evil person, like shooting up a concert or school or something like that. Anything I think over three or four people qualifies as a mass shooting. So this will go down the stats as a mass shooting. Supermom says, said almonds have the trace amounts of arsenic. Another tidal wave bit of info I learned from the kids' science fair projects. A tidbit, not a tidal wave. All right, tidbit. So it's almonds that have trace. But so back to my question. Where was the arsenic? Like, is it part of making apple juice? That they just had some arsenic laying around there and a stupid Tom knocked the thing into the apple juice? All right, Ben, let's see. It's Boeing and they ain't going. Yeah, that's right. I mean, once again, we'll just put everything in perspective in life. When I'm upset because my flight got canceled or whatever and I'm not going to make it home that next day, out of Atlanta and not get back into Mobile. Put things in perspective. I'm not on the space station from June till February. All right. Chad said Caroline Dobson got more airtime on the main Fox News feed the following morning than Figures did the night before. And ABC got Shamari's name and state wrong when he was on stage. I'm going to come back to national media making or national government making mistakes in a second, Chad. Said ABC got Shamari's name and state wrong when he was on stage because they don't care. Which showed in a Transportation Department tweet that went out earlier. We'll come back to. Chad goes on to say he started leasing an apartment in Mobile 2 days before filing deadline last year. So there you go. So whether you, like, so Aiden asked the question, when did he start doing it? Well, 2 days before. So they whether it's right or wrong, a campaign that big is going to have their ducks in a row. It may, you might say, well, that's not right. Well, but it follows the rules. Remember here in the state of Alabama, we saw it in the AL2 race and the people that were in the primaries. There are people that weren't even living in AL2 that were running in the AL2 primaries. Buddy says, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Harris over the space program or space council? So she can't even oversee getting our two astronauts home. I don't know if she's space czar or not, Buddy. I don't know that. Somebody can Google that and let me know. I don't know if she's space czar. But if she was, then they'll have denied it. Hey, back to what Chad was saying about the ABC getting figures, name, and state wrong. Did you see this on Twitter? I know it was Jeff mentioned it earlier. It was a post that went up about the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project. And you've got the Federal Highway Administration head in and doing like a video with Mayor Stimson. Video is pretty good, actually. Watching the video, it's interesting. They're showing maps and photos of the city and talking about the $550 million grant that we've talked about so many times here that goes into the kitty here for the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project. But the Federal Highway Administration, on their Twitter feed, and I think if I didn't retweet this, I'm retweeting it right now. There we go. No, I did. I retweeted it once. Now it's there twice. In their post where they took the video of the administrator head and Mayor Stimson, they write, in this, Behat Mobile T and City of Mobile Mayor Stimson discuss a $550 million grant to replace the bridge over, y'all wait for it, the Mississippi River. This is what the Federal Highway Administration puts out on their official Twitter feed. That is the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project over the Mississippi River. The Mississippi River. What was the thing they said in her? What was that back years ago? They called, what was it, Mississippi, the land in between Florida and Louisiana or something like that? Remember that? Where they couldn't even figure out that Mississippi had a Gulf Coast or something like that? To dig around for that. But yeah, go look for it on the Twitter feed, the X feed, at FM Talk 106.5. There you go. Got a big video, a little back and forth between the mayor and this highway administration person. And then they put this out in a tweet and say the bridge is over the Mississippi River. I mean, sad. I don't know if y'all seen that. Chad, if you hadn't seen it, go look on the Twitter feed. And T-Bone said, I put gasoline in a styrofoam container and wound up with gasoline on my feet. Well, we were supposed to put it, they told you, like, put it in a bucket and mix it together. Okay, I have definitely hit a hot point here with my age demo. Haywood said, I thought it was diesel and styrofoam. Maybe it was. But y'all remember that. We're all told, like, oh, man, you can make napalm. And there was no internet to go see if, you know, the actual recipe for it. We just said, okay, man, he's cool. He's like, that guy's 16. He knows everything. IT Jesus said, do you think they pack enough underwear for an extended stay till February? They got space underwear, right? And you know, anything, just it's space stuff. But they have laundry facilities there or not. Maybe they were shooting each other in the foot. The people, I mean, six people shot. Six people shot. A minor, men, women, and a child, a minor, shot there. I mean, that's a mass shooting by federal standards. Unnamed texture says, shooting happened near the races, have been there at night. Everyone hangs out at a gas station. Police do nothing. They know without a doubt after 9 p.m. the street racers meet to race on the Africatown Bridge in Causeway. That's great. That's real good. Because like in a few weeks, show my redneck dumb here, we'll be probably going that way, pulling the boat down to go launch to go for the early teal season in September that opens up. That's what I need to do, be trailering the boat with the decoys and all the stuff early in the morning, you know, drinking my Diet Dr. Pepper or Coke Zero, trying to, you know, keep myself focused, go down there. And then here comes the Fast and the Furious by me. This texture said, you wouldn't believe me if I told you how Splenda is made. I got a buddy that works there. I think he's told me some of the stuff. Yeah, Tim says, Sean, these gangbangers buy cheap ammo. PMJ. Well, that is. Have you ever noticed that too, Tim, when they'll be reporting breathlessly some news story and said, and the ammunition they used was a Full Metal Jacket. And you're like, well, that's better than a Nosler or a Korlock or something. Like, they try to make Full Metal. I don't want to be shot with anything, but give me a choice with a Full Metal Jacket or something with a mushrooming head. I'll take the FMJ any day. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile. News coming up next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah. All right, so welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you along. Check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars to get the week started inventory-wise. How you looking?
We've got a decent inventory on the ground, Sean, but we've got a list of right at 500 cars we're going through right now, trying to pick and choose which ones that we would like to buy and bring back here to sell. So the list is, trucks, there's Mustangs, there's Acura MDXs, Jeep Cherokees. I mean, there's anything, Expeditions, anything you can imagine is on this list. They're all local trades from a big conglomerate down in South Florida, so we're just kind of picking through those right now.
Yeah, I love it, too, because all your decades, not that you're an old guy, but all your decades in this business, you kind of know what people are looking for around here, right? And you pick those vehicles because you got them on the lot.
Yeah, and, we've changed what we buy here lately. We're buying some different inventory than we have in the past. We're still keeping all these trucks. I mean, the trucks are great because we always have customers looking for trucks. But the smaller cars and the SUVs and the crossovers, we're starting to keep a good selection of those.
You mean you're, like, listening to what your customers want?
Well, my wife wouldn't agree with you, but yeah.
I agree with you. I agree. I don't want to get crossways with her, but I agree with you. Tell folks how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. Alan Adams was out there, I think, updating the pictures earlier, so it should be ready to go.
All right. Y'all go online, check them out, and David, we'll talk to you soon.
Have a good day, bud.
All right, you too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. By the way, John Sharp's going to join us here in the 1 o'clock hour. Also, David Preston has got another novel out. I think there's like two of them in 2 years or just a little over 2 years. Pretty impressive stuff. All the people, if you've ever said, one day I'm going to write a book. Well, this guy has two of them. All right. He's going to talk with us about them later on next hour. Bill says, I hear a lot from the mayor on how the city is flush with cash. Wasn't his mission to make Mobile the safest city in America? The biggest change I've seen in Mobile with the Stimson is the abundance of Delta vape shops and weed smoke wafting citywide. I think he's work. I mean, the mayor can. I do believe, Bill, that the mayor, in my conversations with him, I think it's heartfelt from him. And obviously it's a political thing, too, but I think it's heartfelt from him. So I don't think he's wanting it to be unsafe, but we got this environment here where this happened. And to go back to the fact, the conversations I have with my buddy John Young and Men United Against Violence, we've got two things here. You got to arrest the dirtbags and keep them in jail and then get them sentenced to prison and keep them there. At the same time, we have it's incumbent upon us, we the people, to work with non-ordinance ways to try to change hearts and minds. And no, it's not going to happen overnight, but that's the message of Men United Against Violence, is getting these children to not let them get into this lifestyle early. And this is not something we're not trying to tackle this with 16-year-olds. We're talking about 9-year-olds. So it's going to take some time to turn the ship around. And the vape shops, yeah, I'm with you. Every time I see something, Bill, the other thing is every time I see something opening, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a cool retail. It's plasma or vape, isn't it? Thank you. Unnamed texter said, yes, the VP is over NAFSA. So the space czar, Harris, well, she's probably just so full of joy, unnamed texter, because this campaign's all about joy. It's joy, because hope was taken by Obama. Now, this one's joy. So joy, like when your rent goes up, joy when we get involved in wars all over the planet. It's joy. You got to be joyful here. By the way, too, I got a text from one of my my buddies, one of my friends, he said, he's bringing the ingredients, and we're going to, he said, he's bringing out the low boy cooler, a gallon of gasoline, and see if we can make napalm. You know, here, I mean, what I heard about when I was 14, maybe we'll put into action when I'm 52. Thank you. I know my buddy is game for this, so we'll maybe even video this, because we're idiots. Pat says about Shamari Figures, he's also building a house in my neighborhood, though. So there you go. Unnamed texture here. So many people shot, no casualties. Someone's either a lousy shot or a very good one. Yeah. But once again, I mean, I don't know the extent of those injuries, but this is a thing that gets pushed past. When people go, oh, well, there's just injuries. We don't know what kind of gunshot injuries. This is something that their whole life will change with this. Okay, Supermom, the all-knowing Supermom, thank you. Yes, Harris is over the space program under Vice President Kamala Harris's leadership of the National Space Council. The U.S. is continuing to steward the responsible and sustainable use of space to protect our national security interests, address the climate crisis, and foster a thriving commercial space sector. Well, thank God. That makes me joyful. Supermom, thank you. C.B. Carl says sugar works better. I don't know. I just heard. Then what? Then styrofoam? What do we, help me. Todd, yeah, several people saying they race on paper mill road. Yeah, so I'm going to be, if they also then race across the Cochrane Africatown Bridge, then I'm going to be trailering the old boat, you know. Let's see here. David, I bet the NASA administrator that split the contract between Boeing and SpaceX, despite huge political and lobbying pressure from Boeing to give it all to Boeing, is breathing a huge sigh of relief today. Yeah, because SpaceX is going to go fetch them. Aiden from Citronelle. Speaking of Boeing, did they ever deliver the refueling tankers? Aiden, they're still working on it, man. They're still working on it. All right, come back to more text later next hour, but John Sharp from AL.com joins us in just a couple minutes. Lots to talk about with him right here on Midday Mobile.